Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 176 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this is program number 278. If you'd like to have a copy of it, you'll be told at the end of the program how to receive one. It's absolutely free. Also postage and handling is taken care of. You can receive a CD or a tape copy. We'll tell you at the end of the program how to receive it. And if you need a Bible, you can't afford it, we'll send you one. And we have a lot of literature and a Messiah book that we could send you free of charge as well. We have some testimonials, we've got music, and we've got some readings today from the second chapter of the book of Luke. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint this service. Father God, we thank and praise You. I thank and praise You, Lord. And I pray that there's many people out in the world and that will praise and thank You, Lord, for salvation, for pouring out Your Spirit upon all flesh. And that is done, Your Spirit, Your Word is Spirit and it's life, and therefore those who are preaching the true Word of the Lord are the ones You're using to pour out Your Spirit upon all flesh. Your servants and handmaids shall prophesy, and Your young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams. I must have been young and old about at the same time, Lord, because I've seen many visions from You, and also I've had many dreams from You, and I've seen You with my very eyes wide open in a very dark room, a bedroom. Susie was sound asleep, and I was wide awake, and I saw You appear in a mirror right before my very eyes. And I've written a piece of literature on it, telling people about it, and it's in the newspapers. And so I praise and thank You, Lord, for all the messages that You've given me, and I pray that You anoint this message this evening, and that You open up the hearts, the spirits, the souls, and the minds of people out in the world, Lord, especially those minds that are so drugged up and so boozed up. Open their minds and their hearts and their spirits and their souls. People walking in darkness, Lord, that have never heard the gospel before. And Lord, I pray that You'll break through the darkness of minds of those that have been saved before in the past. They never were any big thing in the church. Many have flirted with men. Many have done all kinds of evil in the church. And they would also try to destroy the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them have left the church, true churches all over the world, and bring accusations against the people of the Lord. And I know that You're bringing down wrath on their heads. And I pray, Lord, that if they don't receive You and are not thankful for heaven that You provided for them, plus all the other provisions such as healing and protection, defense, to have cast out the demons out of them. Lord, if they're unthankful, then do with them what You will. Father, bless the reading of these testimonials, and bless the singing, and bless the reading and the message. I'm sure, Lord, that it will lift people out of darkness, and that it will give them strength, because I've seen that so many thousands of times in the ministry. And I pray that the church will be lifted up. Those that are ready to throw in the towel, those that feel that You haven't done enough for them, that heaven isn't worth paying the price for, and that the blessings that You've blessed them with in this life, they think that it's just nothing but dirt. Lord, do to them what You will. And Lord, we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. And now, here I am singing, I'm holding on to the hands of Jesus.
I'm holding on,
holding on
to the words of Jesus.
He's my strength
as I travel.
Days just before Jesus comes back to earth again, Satan is fighting harder than ever before. And we've always stated, Susie always said, and I say it as well, and the Bible states says it, that in these last days, it's the most wicked of all times, and people are really supposed to hang on to Jesus, hang on to the Word of God. In the book of Proverbs, it tells it that you're supposed to have the fear of God to make sure that you are vigilant and diligent, on fire for God, not lukewarm, like sitting around. Like so many people I see, you know, they just, you're giving them instructions and they just sit there and they look bummed out and actually make you tired when you look at them because they're so dead, tired themselves. And it's sad to see such a thing as that. In these last days, we see the government and Satan has become so subtle in the way they all say, like for instance today, President Ford, former President Ford died, James Brown yesterday, yesterday was Christmas, today's the day after Christmas, and President Ford died, and they have nothing but the best to say about someone who never said a bad thing about anybody. Well, he's just the opposite of the Lord, because the Lord called people snakes and pigs and dogs, and he also called people that they were the sons of Satan, the sons of Beelzebub. And people are so careful to not offend one another today. The only thing that really offends them is God. The Word of God offends people. And the Lord says, be angry, but sin not. He says, be angry at Satan, but don't be angry at God. Because how can people be so ungodly and to be angry at God? And what good do you think he'll do? You must think he's like a lot of these weakling-type preachers that never say anything bad about anybody. But the real God does say bad things. He said he's going to send your soul to hell. He said he's sending hundreds of millions, billions of people into hell. Hell is enlarged. And so I wouldn't be angry with somebody that powerful. And people are more, they're more afraid of this Antichrist beast. Do we have that article called The Tree handy there? As I mentioned for you to do. Okay, well then somebody can read it. Sharon, you did a good job reading it the other day. Can you read that to everybody? This is something that happened in Los Angeles. One night I was busy. I designed a bunch of jackets for people. A lot of thousands of people are wearing the jackets, and it was about service time, so I was standing outside of the church, and I was just looking around. The scenery was so beautiful. There was no breeze hardly at all, but the temperature was absolutely perfect, and it was one of the most enjoyable days. It reminded me of the time when I was in Israel, in different parts of Israel, where the weather was so fine you couldn't even, it was like you were in heaven or something, because everything was so perfect. And that's the way it was that night in at our 200-acre parcel in Los Angeles. And Los Angeles, they say the property in that area where we are, we bought it for $75,000 a piece. There's three properties there. And now it's worth $1 million an acre. Can you believe the inflation today? It's absolutely incredible. And I'm standing out there looking at this huge, humongous tree. It looks so big, and I've written it up, and God did a thing. I was praying, Lord, make me more powerful than that tree. And he answered me. I mean, I actually heard his audible voice saying, you're going to have to be hundreds of millions of times, 100 million times more stronger than that tree. And I said, how am I going to do it? But here it is. I've written it up, and it's been printed in the newspapers, and we're going to keep printing it all over, because it's another supernatural experience that I've had with the Lord. Go ahead and read it, Sharon.
One beautiful, warm Los Angeles evening at our Canyon Country Church on Sierra Highway, I stood outside the front door of the church to enjoy the evening before I went inside. The church was packed with the lost and the saved from the Hollywood Los Angeles area. Some attendees were from other churches. Some were lost souls who had come to hear the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive a free meal after the service. We've served meals after each service for more than 42 years. In the Saugus Canyon Country area, which is a mountainous area of Los Angeles, the night air was wonderful and calm. I was enjoying the smell of the night-blooming jasmine. I always enjoyed looking at the mountains and other scenery, as well as a huge oak tree near our church, which we used on the cover of one of the church's first musical recordings. In the photograph, many of the young people of the church sat on the tree's limbs. It was a huge oak tree, so powerful-looking that it looked like a cartoon, unreal. I thought it was the strongest-looking tree I had ever seen in my life. While I was admiring its huge size, obvious strength, and age, I was praying to God, saying, Lord, make me as strong as that tree. The Lord audibly spoke to me, saying, you will have to be hundreds of millions of times stronger than that tree. I said, what? He repeated, you will have to be hundreds of millions of times stronger than that tree. Those words from the Lord amazed me, because I felt that if I were as strong as the tree, that would be sufficient. I felt that if I was that strong, I would be stronger than Samson in the book of Judges. It seemed utterly impossible to be hundreds of millions of times stronger than the tree, even though I knew that God is always right. I looked at my watch and knew that it was time for me to get into the church and open the service. As I went into the church, I was astonished, and I asked, Lord, how could anyone be stronger than that tree, let alone millions of times stronger than that tree? After I stood behind the pulpit and prayed, I opened the service by telling the congregation exactly what the Lord had just told me. I wasn't more than 3 or 4 minutes into my sermon regarding this tree and what God had told me when we all heard a tremendous crash out in the parking lot where the tree was. The crash literally shook the entire building. A lot of people ran to the window while I was saying, wouldn't that be something if that was the tree? They turned and said to me, it is the tree.
Okay, that I'd like to interject right here is that in yesterday's service, Christmas, there were several people that were there. This goes back around 24, 25 years ago. And they all got up and told that they were there when this happened and when I was saying it, and just exactly told it the same way I'm saying it here in this message. And one of them is Tommy Scarcello, and then Ron Decker and his wife were there, and Sanford White and his wife were there, and who else was there that I didn't mention?
Marianne Barnett.
Marianne Barnett was there also, and all of them, with the exception of Sanford, told her that there's other people around that were there that night, and it was just... because I was telling them what the Lord, what I said to the Lord and what the Lord said back to me, and all of a sudden the thing crashed. Okay, go ahead, continue.
They turned and said to me, it is the tree. It has fallen down. It's lying on the ground. Everyone seemed totally shocked and full of fear. We looked out the window and saw that the dead roots were sticking up into the air.
And I was more full of fear than anybody because I was saying, Lord, how could that be possible that I could be 100 million times stronger than that tree? Well, the Lord knew all the time that the tree was dead, and I didn't. But you're supposed to believe the Lord exactly what he says. And so when that happened and the people said it is the tree, I got under such conviction because I was doubting what the Lord told me. And I'm a lot more, I have a lot more faith today than I did 24 years ago. And I have a lot more faith than I had yesterday as well. I keep gaining more and more faith. We all have been given a portion, the portion of faith. However, the faith that we have is supposed to grow by reading and praying. Because we're not to just keep the portion of faith, we have to increase. The Bible keeps talking about increasing. And that was a real lesson to me to receive unquestionably the things that the Lord says. That's what this is all about. He told me hundreds of millions of times. He says, a live dog is better than a dead lion. In other words, like, if you're alive, you're more powerful than a dead lion. If you're alive and in the spirit of the Lord, you're more powerful, hundreds of millions of times more powerful than a big oak tree, even no matter if it's the biggest one in the world. Okay, and then keep going.
This lesson from God was exceedingly shocking to me and to everyone else who witnessed it. There was no breeze outside. The air had been very still all night. The tree was at least 40 or 50 feet tall. Its branches spanned an area even larger than that. And
yeah, it could have been taller than that. It was like 4, 5, 6 stories high. And the branches spread out at least that long. And they were huge. Then what else? It was like unbelievable, this tree. And I thought, I just want to be as powerful as that tree. It's amazing that the Lord would have that pull that prayer out of me, the Holy Spirit, and then have to teach me a lesson. He said, you're going to have to be hundreds of millions of times stronger than that tree. And I really have had to, because we have I've undergone a lot of persecution down through the years since that happened. It's just been a constant thing, and I've always been able to stand tall through it because of the Spirit of the Lord. And that made me stronger than that old oak dead tree by far. Okay, then what?
The trunk was 20 feet or more in circumference. The majority of people today feel that the problems they are having in this world are insurmountable. They have trouble believing they have the power God says they have. They feel that there are circumstances in the world that cannot be dealt with. But the Bible tells us, quote, all things are possible to him that believeth.
And if God be with us, who could be against us? Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
That was Mark 9:23. And quote, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
And that means all things, A-L-L. That tree couldn't do anything, even if it was alive. All it can do is just stand there. But we are able to be moved about by the Holy Spirit if we're focusing on the Word of God. The Word of God is Spirit, Holy Spirit, and it is the truth. It is the power of God. It is Jesus. This, the words that the Lord speaks unto us are spirit, and they are life. So the Word of God is our very life. And therefore, the Bible tells us to take fast hold onto it and keep it. You know, some Christians believe that you're just supposed to be, you know, like a limp-wristed type person where you just, you're wishy-washy and you don't make a strong stand, but you're supposed to be like clamp onto the word, the instructions of the Lord, and get a scissor grip on it and wrap it around your head and your arms and your fingers and just like fast hold onto the instructions, because it's our very life. And this to me was a great instruction, and I pray that it'll be a great instruction to you, so that no matter how many storms, how many times they've threatened to kill me, and they actually put me in prison for 4 years on false charges with a bunch of false witnesses. They lied like a bunch of dogs about me. I just always felt they lied a lot more about Jesus, and they're still lying about him today. They're lying about, they're saying that he had an affair with Mary Magdalene. I mean, they're the most low, guttural people on earth today. And to think that the History Channel would stoop so low to say something about that. They're not even saved. They don't know God. They don't know anything about holiness. All they are is low-life creeps. They're dung is what they are, according to the Word of God. They are like snakes, dogs, pigs, sons of Satan. When they say something so wretched about the Almighty God living in human flesh, who came here to be an example. If the Lord would do anything like that, it would be printed in the Bible. The Lord doesn't hide anything like that, or anything at all. Everything is brought open. He never married, and he never had any morbid sexual affairs with that former prostituta. Not once. And not only that, they tried to say that he was not... he was pregnant by somebody instead of the Lord. You people are blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and there's no forgiveness for you on this side of eternity. Or at the judgment bar of God, you're going to the pits of hell. And I want you to know it, and God wants you to know it. That's why he has me saying this to you. Low life, guttural people, trying to pull everything that's holy down to the gutter with you. You gutter snipes. Okay, then what else?
By this I mean when God tells us that we are hundreds of millions of times more powerful than whatever we see and whatever we think is strong in this world.
Right. Now, I'm not going to be like the other evangelists and say that you're blessed and everything, because I don't know you. But the Lord told me that I was all that he had, and he told me that I had to be hundreds of millions of times stronger than that tree. It's obvious that some of you don't, because a lot of you don't get persecuted, but just as sure as the fact that you're not being persecuted, it's just sure as the fact is that you're not living godly in Christ Jesus. And you're not a voice in this world. All you are is wishy-washy. I heard this Robeson on television, there was a video that we have of him, and he was saying he got close to government. He got so afraid. He used to be a great preacher, but now he's so afraid to come out and talk about the Antichrist as it is. He just likes to interview different women and men, and he states, he said, I always have admired the female body. I said, why would a guy say that, you know, if he's a holy preacher? I mean, why? Then I thought to myself, maybe that's why he doesn't have the fire as he did before, because he became fearful of the Antichrist. And then he figured, I'll live that kind of a life. He became fearful. He began believing that the power of the oak tree, or of this big tree that is the one world government and the Antichrist cult in Rome and the media, that's more powerful than God. But he needs to get the fear of the Lord, because the fearful and unbelieving will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Okay, Mr. Robeson and Mr. Falwell. Okay, go ahead. Finish.
The things of this world many times look to be much stronger than they really are to the mind of a novice.
Yeah, or a mind of an unbelieving and a faithless type person, a fearful person. I mean, the Vatican, look, this is a monster. It's a monster. But the monster goes away when I say it. I saw it, the same vision that Daniel saw. And it was very, very dreadful. But I just said, I couldn't even look at it for more than a split of a second. I told it, the blood of Jesus against you, and it went right away. So that shows me that it's not powerful. The Lord is powerful. Okay, then what?
The things of this world many times look to be much stronger than they really are to the mind of a novice, and especially the unsaved, just as the huge tree looked to me when in reality it was dead. I have more faith today than
there. Is Satan dead? The Lord said he's finished, amen? He's amen. Condemned. He's going to hell. There's no stopping him going to hell, because the Bible says it would be better that he had never been born, this Judas, and that Satan is just waiting, and all of his evil angels and those that follow them are waiting, just fearfully waiting for the day that they're going to be all cast into the hell and then the lake of fire. So they're losers. They've had it. They're over with. Okay, then what?
I have more faith today than I had 24 years ago, and more faith than I had yesterday, which shows me that the more we read the Word and through time experience the truths of what God says, our faith is greatly increased. Patience is a virtue. Mere moments after the Lord told
patience is a virtue, because, you know, just patiently wait for the Lord to come back, and don't let anything remove you from the blessings and the eternal blessings of heaven. Just put up with whatever's going on. I was put in prison, and that didn't stop me from preaching the gospel, and I just was patient in there, and I finally got out, and I kept preaching the gospel when I got out, and I still am to this day. This is the day after Christmas, 2006. Okay, then what? This is, I've been in the ministry over 42 years. Then what?
Mere moments after the Lord told me I had to be hundreds of millions of times stronger than that tree, He confirmed it to me and to the entire congregation.
But I'm not strong unless the Spirit of God is in me, so that's what He's telling you, is keep the Spirit of God in you so that you can have God's power in you and His guidance, all right? Then what?
Mere moments after the Lord told me I had to be hundreds of millions of times stronger than that tree, He confirmed it to me and to the entire congregation by allowing it to fall down, shaking the church building and rattling the bones of everyone in the church. The people of the world who are not saved, and even many of those who are born again of the Spirit, trust in the things of the world and doubt God's power in themselves. We are able to do all things in the power of God, Philippians 4:13. The power of God is His Spirit. Quote, the law was given by Moses, but power and truth came by Jesus Christ, unquote, John 1:17. They feel that doctors, nurses, medicine, big trees, etc. are more powerful than God, when in reality the power, the Spirit of God, is hundreds of millions of times more powerful than the strongest looking thing on this earth, in this world. The Word of God says, quote, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, or insurmountable problem, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Unquote, Matthew 17:20. The truth, the power of God, which is the Spirit, is hundreds of millions of times more powerful than any powerful-looking thing in this world.
Or, for that matter, anywhere in the universe. Okay, and then what?
Many people believe that today's one-world government, church, and media at large is like a great tree whose branches reach throughout the entire world. The people of the world are saying today, quote, who is able to make war with the beast, unquote, Revelation 13:4. The beast is the Antichrist world government, the false prophet, which is the false church, and much of the media powered by that great red dragon, the devil, Revelation 12:3 and 9, whose seat is in the city of the seven mountains, Revelation 17:9, which reigneth over the kings of the earth, Revelation 17:18. All these seem incredibly powerful to those not knowing the Word, the power of God, just as the gigantic oak tree looked incredibly powerful to me on the night it fell to the earth. God's Word states that the things of this world are powered by Satan, and tells us that Satan's power and Satan's things are weak and beggarly, Galatians 4:9. Love not the world, for all that exists in the world is lusts, 1 John 2:16. Yet Satan, with his propaganda, makes most people in the world believe that the things of the world are mighty, powerful, and stronger than God. You can hear their foolish braggings, can you not?
Yes, they say, we made television, we can make pictures go right through wires. Those are false miracles. These are elements of God that they're using, and they finally learned about them, and they put them through wires, and we have these different machines and radios, and we've got rockets and go up to the moon, and all the knowledge that they have came from the Lord in the first place. And the Lord is just allowing that to happen. These things are all satanic because they're taking glory for it. Even the internet and all these things, they're just simpleton foolishness unto the Lord. Because His wisdom is the Lord. No matter how much knowledge you have of things, there's no other knowledge or wisdom than Jesus, because Jesus is the only way you can get into heaven and stay out of hell. So what good is any other knowledge? All other knowledge is not wisdom. All it is frivolous trivia in comparison to knowing the Lord, because no matter what you know, no matter if you know everything about the internet or television, or if you could even make these telephones that you can look at the people when you're talking to them, all this is trivia in the eyes of the Lord. these are so-called miracles, and bombs, aircraft, all these things. But the Lord is the only miracle, because it's miraculous to know God, who created everything and gave people knowledge, or if they study enough anything, you can just about do anything, but that's still, with the exception of going to heaven. You have to forget all your worldly knowledge and lean onto the scriptures, the wisdom of God. And the Bible says that Jesus is the wisdom and the power of God. So all power in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. That means all power. So what he's saying is all these things that you look at that seem powerful are not true power. True power is Jesus, because, again, only he is able to get you into the kingdom of heaven. And let me tell you something. Jesus is the Word of God. So if you ignore the Word of God, the Bible says that God is going to mock you when you start crying out to him, when you feel your spirit going out to hell in the lake of fire. He'll mock you and laugh at you because you're mocking at his Word and laughing at it and thinking that the things of this world are wisdom when they're nothing but trivia in the eyes of God. Because there's only one wisdom, I'm saying it again, and that's Christ. For he is the wisdom of God to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I'm saying that that Christ, the Son of God, is the Word of God. So believe on the entire Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the entire Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. You say, well, I believe the name of Jesus. Well, it's because you think you do, because you think that Jesus is just a name. No, he's the Word of God. If you believe on the whole Word of God, you can be saved. And the Lord knows that you believe on it when you do what he says. All right, then go ahead. And it doesn't matter how bright you are. These guys have got billions of dollars. You're nothing, because when you come to the end of the line, when you have to release your, when God takes your spirit up, you're not even going to think about those billions of dollars or whatever title you have in this world. You're going to be crawling and grumbling on your hands and knees, crying out, screaming out like a baby. Because I was a pretty tough guy myself. And before, when I was confronted with the Lord, when he told me, stand up in this room and tell the people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's coming back to earth again, I at first I didn't believe it, but then when he started pulling the breath in and out of me, I started saying, you know, in my soul, I was screaming out, Lord, no, I'll tell him. And I was like a groveling person I didn't think I was so big after that happened to me. And when you, if you don't come in contact with the Lord in this world, it's for sure, no matter whether you want to or not, you're going to stand in front of him, and you can shake your fist at it in his face if you like, but you won't have a chance, because you'll be in hell in the lake of fire before you can ever shake it, even get it up into his face once. Because that God that you're mocking now, the Word of God, is true and it's powerful. It's more powerful than any other weapon on the face of this earth. And you're going to meet him one of these days. And you better figure out right now whether you want to go to hell or if you want to go to heaven. If you choose heaven, you'll be there. If you choose hell, you'll just not pay any attention to what I'm saying. Or what the Word of God says, you'll just go to hell. You could go there tonight, this afternoon, this morning. Nobody has any guarantee that you're going to live another minute. Okay, let's finish off here.
Why are people unable to remember that God created everything, and everything is subject to his power? The exception is those who resist him, not knowing that the judgment is at hand. The Lord asked David in Psalm 2, verse 1 through 5, quote, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Unquote. Because sin, violence, and lawlessness has grown to today's magnitude, God, who drowned the entire world, wants everyone to know that the world and everything in it that resists him will burn with a fervent heat. He has the power to do that. He not only has the power to do that, he will do that.
And it would be great if you just burned up and you were dead and you don't feel anything anymore. But the problem is that he burns you eternally. And eternity goes on forever. And just when you think it's the hottest, he cranks it up some more, because there's no relief in hell. And there's no torment in heaven, none whatsoever. But hell is tailor-made for tormentors and people that make fun and mock the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, that mock the entire Word of God, or even one portion of it. Okay, go ahead.
God cannot lie. What he says he will do, he will do, and soon. Jesus said, quote, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, Matthew 28:18. I'm glad God gave me power over my enemies. Jesus said, quote, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Unquote, Luke 10:19-20. There is no weapon in the entire universe more powerful than the Word of God. This is the weapon Jesus chose to create the heavens and the earth, to destroy the heavens and the earth, and to make a new heaven and a new earth, all because of sin, Satan, lusts, death, hell, and the grave. Quote, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Unquote, 2 Peter 3:10-12. Daniel saw a vision of the beast, the seemingly insurmountable Antichrist. He was seeing the figure or type of government that we see in the world today. I had never before noticed the word that he used to describe it, that it was, quote, dreadful, unquote, Daniel 7:7-19. The Lord showed me a vision of the beast, the one world government, its mouth, which is the most of the media, and the cult, which is Satan's church.
Right, it was the same vision that Daniel had many hundreds of years ago. Then what? I know what he saw, and the most perfect word to describe him was dreadful. Okay, go ahead.
Again, Satan's seat is the city of seven mountains, Revelation 17:9.
That's Rome, Italy. Okay, then what?
Daniel used the exact word to describe it. It was dreadful to see, dreadful because of its overly intimidating look. I couldn't look at it for more than a fraction of a second. Its look was immense, grotesque, and awful. It looked more powerful than anything I've ever seen. Again, it was enormous and fierce. The height of it was from the earth into the heavens, extremely intimidating. It was like an unbelievably huge robot, and its face looked at me with more anger than I ever thought existed in the entire world. It was obvious that it wanted to quickly destroy me. It was moving so fast, and it was so close, that I thought I'd been had. It didn't move like humans. When it was coming toward me, it was moving from side to side. It was awesome because of how huge it was. To see something that enormous running toward you in anger is paralyzing. Its head and teeth were huge and made of iron. Its mouth was wide open, and there was fire coming from inside the eye holes, the nose, and the mouth.
The teeth were sharp. They were like triangles, huge iron triangles. And then what?
Like a burning furnace was inside. The fire in it was much hotter than the fires in the furnaces of the steel mills in Cleveland, Ohio. I used to live there. It was coming for me just as the one world government, Satan's church in the city of the seven mountains, and most of the mass media has come after me, my church, and other Christians throughout the world.
For a period of 42 years already, and we're still holding on to the word of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And what?
My only defense against it was the blood of Jesus, the word of God. So I quickly came against it in the blood of Jesus. When I did, it quickly disappeared. This shows that the word of God and the blood of Jesus are much more powerful than it is.
Then the beast.
Then it is.
The false church and the false prophet, Rome, the one world government and the one world media. The blood of Jesus is more powerful. And that little old dead oak, that big oak tree was is nothing. And neither is the government. The devil and his whole regime is finished. They're over with. Then what?
The word of God, the blood of Jesus, is the most important thing in the world for all who are ready to fight the good fight of faith against the evil powers that
exist. Now, these people in this one world government, they pretend to be Christians. Believe me when I tell you they're not Christians. They wouldn't be sending people with weapons of war, these carnal weapons, if they were Christians. They're liars, and the media is able to make them look good, because that's all they do, is they just make people that are of the Lord look evil, and the people of the devil look good, but they're not good. Then what?
The word of God, the blood of Jesus, is the most important thing in the world for all who are ready to fight the good fight of faith against the evil powers that exist in this world today. This is the true Antichrist, 1 John 2:18. Again, we overcome this wicked Antichrist power, the entire world system, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, Revelation 12:11. To further describe this beast, Daniel said this fourth world kingdom was, quote, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, triangular. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was different from all the beasts, kingdoms that were before it, and it had 10 horns, Daniel 7:7. The reason it is different than all previous kingdoms is because it encompasses the entire planet. Today's one world system is much different than any other system that has been in the world before.
Yeah, it's more different than all other governments before it. All other governments before it were just like isolated governments, but this one is worldwide. Okay, then what?
But the Lord is, quote, the same yesterday and today and forever, unquote, Hebrews 13:8. God will simply destroy him with the spirit of his mouth, or in other words, with the word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12 states, quote, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, unquote, 2 Thessalonians 2:8 through 12. Quote, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time, unquote, Revelation 12:12. In other words, Satan knows that he's doomed. He knows that he's finished. When Jesus on the cross said, it is finished, John 19:30, he meant that Satan is finished. The old world is finished, and the same goes for the old heaven. The mystery of God is finished, Revelation 10:7, and, quote, there shall be time no longer, unquote, Revelation 10:6. As soon as the seal of God is on the foreheads of the 144,000 Jews, the four angels in Revelation chapter 7 will begin hurting the earth and the sea with all the plagues from God in rapid succession. Then shall the wicked people of the earth begin understanding the power and might of God Almighty. When the Lord says there shall be time no longer, this means that judgment and eternity is all that is left, either an eternity in the kingdom of heaven for the servants of God, or an eternity in hell and the lake of fire for those who served Satan, for his cult in the City of the Seven Mountains, for his world government, and for those who believe the lie of it all. The word revelation means unveiled. The mystery of all these things can be understood only at the time of their happening. That's why we know that all these things are happening today. The mystery of God indeed is finished. It's just a matter of people making a decision as to whether they want to be in Christ and receive an eternity of his blessings in heaven, as well as his blessings more abundantly on earth, or whether they want to turn them down. If your decision is to say no to God, you've called down your own condemnation. Now is the time to make your decision. Quote, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Revelation 22:11 states, quote, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Unquote. This shows me that we humans have the power from God to choose where we will spend eternity. It's either heaven or it's hell and the lake of fire. There are no other options. If your choice is to spend eternity in God's paradise, in heaven, then say this prayer.
Okay, the prayer is, you can choose to go to heaven or to hell. I mean, we have a free will to choose who we'll serve. And you say, well, I don't have the power to do it. Well, you will have the power when the Lord enters into you. If you want that power right now, just say this prayer right now. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you to enter into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, because you said that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm calling upon you, Lord, and I'm asking you to enter into me now. And therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, Sharon, go ahead and tell him. Just start praising and thanking the Lord, and Sharon will tell you now how to receive a copy of this tape or CD. If you can't afford a Bible, we'll send you one, a Messiah book, a lot of my literature. I've written hundreds of pieces of literature, and we'll send them to you absolutely free, no handling or mailing charges at all. All right, Sharon, tell them.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to play for you Fag Springman. I love that record where he sings about right on King Jesus. And all of those of us that are in the Lord Jesus, in the body of Christ, we are the body of Christ, you'll be riding on too, right up to victory, because the Lord is going to take us right up into the heavens immediately, the Bible says, after the tribulations. So again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and make sure you tune in tomorrow. We're going to have a real powerful message for you, one that will feed your soul. The Word of God is spirit and life, and you'll have more life when you read the Bible and when you listen to these tapes. So right on, King Jesus. No man can hinder me.
Right on, King Jesus, no man.
You just heard was called The Tree, and I'm going to put a picture of that tree on the website so you can tune into it, and you'll be able to see how big that tree was. There's hundreds of our followers that we won to the Lord. They're standing under it. You'll see what I mean.